let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Our guest on today's program says in today's high-speed, hyper-competitive business world, the key to success is surprisingly simple: iterate. Ed Muzio says only organizations that iterate can quickly learn, adapt, and keep up in today's world. It's the key to optimal communication and responsive decision-making. Some say it could be the difference between survival and extinction. Ed is the author of Iterate, Run a Fast, Flexible, Focused Management Team, an Amazon bestseller in teams and bestseller in management, called one of the planet's clearest thinkers on management practice, CEO of Group Harmonics, author of Make Work Great and Four Secrets to Liking Your Work, both winning awards from the International Society of Performance Improvement, probably best known for his popular whiteboard video series, his mantra, higher output, lower stress, sustainable growth. Ed Muzio, author of Iterate, Run a Fast, Flexible, Focused Management Team, is with us on This Week in America. Hi, Ed. Welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Rick, hello, and thank you. It's great to be here.
So much to talk about. It's such an excellent book, and you start off at the beginning of the book by talking about Iterate, to take the most logical step from where you are and then do it again and again. Iteration is how computers simulate complex systems. It's how humankind got from the Wright Flyer to the Boeing 747, and it's how you walk to your car. You start off the first chapter talking very simply about that, the best first step. Talk about that, because this is something we can relate to, all of us, and we're iterating all day long and probably don't even know it.
You know, I joke it's probably the sort of the most boring metaphor ever, right? But you step out the front door of the mall or the office building, and you figure out you want to get to your car in about 3 minutes to stay on schedule. And so what do you do? Well, you look over where you think your car is, although you can't see it and you're not sure, and you start walking. And so, you know, you might say, well, my executive office gave a command, get to the car in 3 minutes, and my workforce, my feet, carried it out. But when you really get into what's happening on the walk, that's just the beginning of the story, right? So
yes.
As your feet are going along, they're dealing with the surface. And is it wet or is it slippery? And they're making adjustments without calling the boss, right? They can do that down there. They're also using blood oxygen. They can make an escalation, ask for more if they need it. That would go to middle management, your cardiovascular system, and then on up to your brain if it needed to. Meanwhile, up in the office, the CEO office up top, you're looking out over the horizon and you're noticing things like, that's in my way, or that's not my car and I thought it was. So you're feeding information down. So all along this sort of least interesting part of your day, what's happening is every time you take a step, you're gaining information from it. And then you have information feeding up from the bottom and down from the top, and decisions getting made at all these different levels. And all of that serves one purpose, which is so that the next step you take incorporates what you just learned. And that's iteration. It's take a step, learn from it, and then take the next best step from there, as opposed to following the plan you laid out a few steps ago when you didn't know everything you know now. That's what we need our organizations doing.
Yeah, and basically once we start doing something, things change.
That's right. I mean, you're on your walk to the car and you're, you know, halfway there, and then you realize you're going the wrong way.
Yes.
Learn something, or there's some construction. Same thing in a business, right? You head into a market, or you release a product, or you even do a customer survey, and just by releasing the product, you've got the attention of competitors, or just by asking the customer survey, now you're getting complaints maybe about something else, right? So there's always unintended consequences. We create change as we go. We have to adapt as we go.
With us on This Week in America, our guest is Ed Muzio, the author of Iterate, Run a Fast, Flexible, Focused Management Team. In one of those whiteboard series that you did online, I'm looking, and you say, we share a hallucination about management. We think it's linear. Talk about that and why we're wrong with that assumption.
We do. I call it the North American management model, and it's a hallucination. There's a lot of pieces to it, but one of them is this idea that, you know what, in January, we're going to make a plan, and we'll sit around together for a day or two offsite or whatever, make a plan. And then good management all year long consists of holding people to that plan, right, and monitoring their work.
Yes.
The reality is that's not what happens, right? As soon as you start walking, things change. By March, you're on a whole different plan, or you're on the same plan headed for a different result. And so what you need is more flexibility and more adaptability. And in most organizations, that goes on behind the scenes. What I'm saying is, let's have management do that consciously instead of having people do it in back rooms.
And you say managers are constantly asked to figure out how to do things they haven't done before. typically given fewer resources than they need to guarantee quality results, and frequently get blamed for not foreseeing problems that could have only been obvious in hindsight. Talk about that and the authority we give to people in management to iterate, to make changes as they're necessary.
You know, Rick, I don't sound much like a motivational speaker in that, do I? But it's true. I mean, in many ways, management is a very difficult gig, right? You are invested with the resources of the organization, your section of the organization, big or small, and your job is to continuously adjust and readjust those resources in both collaboration with and tension with your fellow managers to try and figure out what to do with the resources of the organization, right? If you have more resources than work, that's a bad situation. So hopefully you have more work, more high-value work than resources, and that means you're always sort of resource-constrained. So in that way, management's a tough job because you're always bumping into each other trying to figure out, hey, where's the best place to put these resources? And the more you can do that consciously and effectively, rather than trying to do it through these sort of ceremonial update meetings, then the better off you are as a manager in terms of your stress level and engagement, also the better off your organization is in terms of its overall output.
When people are promoted into executive management positions, are they properly prepared for that in many cases?
You know, I don't think they are. I think even in middle management, I feel like, you know, one of the big parts of that North American management mythology says, you know, as long as you get your people to bring you their goals, then you're doing your job
right, as
a manager. And if you get any further into it, then you're basically saying, you know, you don't trust them. That's actually not right. Really, as a manager, you know, especially the higher you get when you're managing managers, it's incumbent on you not only to set individual goals for the managers under you about their teams and their groups, but also to be attentive and clear about, look, here's how we're going to manage around here, and I expect all of us to manage in the same ways, and I expect all of you to work as a team on the higher level versus working in your own silos on your own goals in the way you see fit. And I don't think there's a lot of conversation about that. I think the North American management model tends to sort of favor the individualistic model, you know, get it done for me, boss. You know, I'll get it done for you, boss, however I can, but that's not the reality of work.
Ed Muzio, our guest on This Week in America, award-winning author, CEO, leader on management practice. His website, by the way, Iterate Now, to get information on the book, iteratenow.com. Iterate, Run a Fast, Flexible, Focused Management Team is the book we're talking about. In it, you talk about to run a fast, flexible, focused management team. There are five key practices that you really should follow. Let's start with the first one, output and status broadcasting. Talk about the importance of that, what it is exactly, and the importance.
Yeah, and thank you. And output and status broadcasting is just the name we give it. And I always say it doesn't really matter if you call it the same thing, but the behavior we're looking for in output and status broadcasting is, are people, A, verbal about, if they're a manager, what they're trying to deliver with their resources, meaning can they in 60 to 90 seconds give a clear statement of, here's the output I'm going to produce with my organization, whether it's a big one or a small piece. And then the second part is, do they have a way of graphically representing that to put up a forecast and say, here's a visual on where I'm trying to go, where I thought I would get before, and where I now think I'll get, so I can look and say, if there's a difference between those two futures, if the course I'm on is not going to get us there, I can have a conversation with peers or my boss about how to change course. That's really the core of output and status broadcasting, is to make it based on output.
You talk about a pragmatic dashboard. Why is that important? How does that work?
You know, that's my term, and I always worry about the word dashboard because everybody means sort of a different thing, but my term for pragmatic dashboard, what I'm meaning is, you know, let's take a simple example. Let's say, you know, I work for you, Rick, and I'm making widgets, and I make so many a week. The standard sort of North American management graph I would bring you would be, you know, hey, it's the 20th week. Here's a bar chart of how many widgets I made every week until now. And maybe there's a line on there that says, here's our plan for the year, right? So everything after today in the graph, all that's there is the future plan. What we mean by pragmatic dashboards is, I need to give you something else in that graph. I need to give you my most up-to-date forecast as to what I now think will happen in the future, so that you can look at the graph, so we can look at the graph, and say, hey, look, we previously had this plan. Now we're forecasting to be the same as the plan, in which case there's nothing to talk about, or above or below. And if I get too far above or below, we have to start thinking about how that impacts the work of my peers and the rest of the organization. That has to show up in the pragmatic dashboard, because that's the impetus for the conversation we need to have in management.
All of this in Ed's book, Iterate, Run a Fast, Flexible, Focused Management Team. His website, iteratenow.com. Book lays this out. It's very simple to follow, very simple to read. We're talking about five key practices that Ed mentions in the book. The next one is work preview meetings. Talk about that. And it's interesting because you say there should be a certain rhythm to these meetings.
That's right. So the work preview meeting is the sort of forward-looking meeting. That's why we call it preview, where we have that conversation about, hey, if we have variance, you know, how do we look at that as a group? Remember, it's, you know, me and my peers working for Rick. How does my variance in the future affect my peers? And how does all of that affect Rick's output? Because we're working as a team on Rick's output. We're not working in silos. So that rhythm of meetings we talk about is that meeting needs to happen on a regular basis. If Rick goes on vacation and there's no meeting for 2 weeks, then if I have a variance, now all of a sudden I have to figure out, do I call my own meeting? Do I not? What happens? So instead what has to happen, just very simply, is Rick has to say, I'm on vacation. You know, Ed, you've got the helm on the meeting. You run the meeting, right? And so we can keep asking that question about what variance are we seeing? What adjustment should we make? Even if the boss is out for a little while, or if one of the employees is out, they just send a delegate. But the meeting happens with all sides represented every time it's supposed to.
It's interesting because you talk about group decision making, and that's always sort of difficult, especially, size matters, doesn't it, in terms of group decision making?
It does. We don't think you can make a really effective group decision, at least a complex one, when you get past about 9 people. So if you're talking about, you know, if you have a staff or a board or something that has, let's say, 18 or 20 members, all you can really do is ratify things. That's kind of a different process. But the kind of things that happen in management, you know, where Ed shows up and says, I've got a variance, I'm not going to hit my targets. Hey, peers, what does that do to you? Hey, boss, how does that affect your whole output for the group, and how do we adjust to compensate for that? That requires real group decision-making. So that's my third key practice, and there's some specific guidance about that. One of the pieces of guidance is just simply, you know, it's not who talks the most, and it's not who is most convincing that wins. It's everyone who has information teaching that information to the person who's going to decide, the person who's going to decide focusing on learning it, not whether or not they agree with it, just learning what they're being taught, and then putting that together and making the best decision they can, irrespective of popularity or a vote or social pressure or anything like that. Just saying, look, this is what you've all taught me. What am I missing? If I have it all, in my judgment, this is what we do. That's a good group decision. And again, it's in some ways harder for the manager, but we know clearly from research that will produce higher quality decisions than the alternatives, like voting or, you know,
right,
how this person wins or all those sort of things.
You talk about the importance of, even if you don't agree with the final decision, you really need to follow it through without failure or sabotage in some cases.
Yeah, I call that simply 100% implementation. And that just means that, you know, once we make this decision about what we're going to do because Ed's behind, you know, maybe Ed gives some resources away or somebody else gives some money to Ed or whatever, there's going to be someone who doesn't agree. Management is difficult, it's disagreeable, and they're not going to really want to do it. But if we go back to the walk to the parking lot, I gain the information by taking the steps. I may take a few steps in the wrong direction, but that's what it takes to learn to go in a different direction, right? So in the organization, we say, look, on some level, we all take turns doing things we disagree with because we recognize that at the higher level of what's going on here, it benefits us all to take the steps clearly. So if we make an agreement, we all follow it. Doesn't mean we can't come back and say, hey, this isn't working. We can always decide again, but we don't allow for sabotage or sort of partial compliance and things that stall us, because that really stops the information from coming in and makes us less effective, no matter who's right.
One of the key practices is linked teams. Why are linked teams critical to the overall organizational success?
Well, linked teams, I've sort of been kind of hinting at it as I go along. The core thing about linked teams is it says, look, you know, if I and my peers work for Rick, we work as a team with Rick at the head of the team on Rick's objectives, which he owes the higher level of the organization. If I'm a manager in that role, I have a team of people reporting to me. They work as a team with me as a group reporting or working on, I should say, my goals that I owe to Rick. And so what you get is what we call upward-looking success, and that is, everybody in the organization is looking up at their boss's goals and working with their peers to get to their boss's goals. Now, when everybody looks up, that frees up executives and leadership at the top of the organization to look out and look forward, kind of like you're looking on your walk to the car.
Right.
Right? In the North American management model, everyone's looking down. Your manager's watching you. So you're watching your managers, and they're watching their people, and we're all sort of focused inward, and no one can look out. So this upward-looking success, this linked team says, these teams link to each other, let's all work and focus and act as if they do, because they do, and that frees up our higher-level resources for really looking strategically out into the future.
And number five, in terms of the key practices, is frontline self-sufficiency. What does that actually look like in a truly company that does iterate?
Well, just as it sounds, frontline self-sufficiency is about the frontline workers, the individual contributors who are not managers. And it's sort of the easiest one to think about, although it's not easy to do always. But all it says is, if we have individual contributors in the organization, we need them to have basically three things. A clear understanding of what they're supposed to be doing and what they're supposed to produce, that's goals or output. A clear sense on their own of how they're doing at it, meaning it's not managers telling them how they're doing, it's them tracking their own progress with good clarity. And then the third thing is they need to have the resources they need, meaning there's not cumbersome approval processes, it's not hard to get what they need to do the work. If we get those things in place, if they know what they're doing, if they know how it's going, and they have what they need, what happens is, instead of management telling them how they're doing, they can tell their management how it's going. They can say, and accurately say, you know, I'm ahead this week or I'm behind this week. And it's that forecast that leads to that forward-looking data we talked about, where I as a manager can come in and say, look, I was trying to hit this plan. My team is telling me we're ahead or behind. That's that second future we need, without which we actually can't make intelligent resource decisions in management. We need that information.
And that goes back to what we talked about in the beginning, resources. That's a key, really, isn't it? Not just financial, but support from management to be able to go out and to be flexible, to iterate when you need to.
It's a good point. Really, if you look at what a manager can do, all a manager can do and all a manager should do is control and adjust the resources in the company. So that could be budget dollars. It's definitely people. It can also be equipment, supplies, right?
Yes.
Whatever resources the manager has under his or her purview, it's that manager's job to optimize those resources for his or her piece of output to the broader organization, to the team that he or she's on, right? And this works at every level. So when we see managers working on something other than resources, there are other things you do as a manager of people. I call that managing with a capital ing. Like, you have to help people develop and grow, and you have to deal with employee issues. That's fine. But what I call management with a capital mint, which is acting as part of this system of managers that helps the organization iterate, all you can really do in that space is say, how are my resources deployed right now, and do I need to change them based on our new collective understanding of what the future is going to look like that we didn't understand before? That's really all you can do.
It's all laid out in the book, Iterate, Run a Fast, Flexible, Focused Management Team. Ed Muzio, our guest on the program, the author, that's M-U-Z-I-O, award-winning author, CEO, leader on management practice. The website for the book is iteratenow.com, book available wherever books are sold. Ed, a fascinating program. Thank you so much for being with us on the program. Great information to take back to the workforce, and great information for all of us as we go through life, because it never works out the way we think it's going to, does it?
Not quite. No, I always say agility beats planning, right? You have to be agile and change as you go. But Rick, thank you. Thanks for having me, and thanks to your listeners. Wish you the best in all your future iterations.
Thank you. Iterate, Run a Fast, Flexible, Focused Management Team. Website, iteratenow.com. And, of course, information on Ed and the book by linking on directly to our website, thisweekinamerica.us.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.